today, if you would stand, we'll get started with our service. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." It's good to be in the Lord's house today. Brother James Benson, would you open us, please?
If you'll take your hymn books, turn to hymn number 167, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name."
Amen.
take your hymn books once again. Let's stand and turn to hymn number 140. We Have an Anchor. Hymn number 140. Stand as we sing.
Take two. Here we go.
They carried him every day to that same temple gate where he would sit and beg a hopeless man. Nobody ever thought he'd have the chance to walk. Oh, how they were wrong. God had a plan. One afternoon, two men came to the temple, bearing a gift from the Lord. They told him to stand up, and soon he was leaping, shouting, "I'm crippled no more. I have been healed. I've been touched by his grace. I felt his power, and now I've been changed." There's one explanation: the God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known, let the truth be told. I have been healed. Jesus was passing through town. She touched the edge of his robe. He asked, "Who touched me?" At first she was silent and trembling. She knelt and spoke, "I have been healed. I've been touched by his grace. I felt his power, and now I've been changed."
There's one explanation: the God of creation
done a miracle in me.
Let my story be known, let the truth be told. I have been healed.
Oh, the power still flows from the great physician.
Come thou fount of every blessing.
Step, enter in. You are safe in this place.
ever too broken to belong, never too wounded and never too far gone. And here you'll find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. Find the perfect love that no one deserves. A peace so sweet it can't be put into words. And grace that's greater than the darkest of sin. Taste and see, take a stand, let the healing begin. You're never too broken to belong, never too wounded and never too far gone. And here you'll find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. We too were wounded and defeated, so we know how you feel. But by the wounds of our Redeemer, we believe and we were healed. You're never too broken to belong, never too wounded and never too far gone. And here you'll find Jesus.
Thank you, Tiff. Well, amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house today and to have each one of you with us. If you would take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. There's no doubt we are living in perilous times, and we are living in times of great need. And as a nation, we've suffered great loss this week with the loss of our military people in the attack that took place. And so a lot, or several of military individuals I know personally have been called up, and so we want to pray for our troops that are being called up. I know Chris Noblo was called up, and Mrs. Walker's son's been called up, and Cole is always on duty taking care of those jets. That's awesome. He's got some good stories already, so I'm excited to hear as his career progresses. But we want to pray for our soldiers and pray for our country. And, you know, it's not just soldiers that are left behind in Afghanistan. There's other individuals. I watched a video of execution of Afghan Christians. I wonder how much this crowd would up and scoot, if you could, before they pulled in with the guns and put you on your knees and shot you in the back of the head. You know, it hasn't really cost us anything to serve the Lord as it has in some nations. And so we need to pray for fellow believers and ask for God to just have his will there. And then we need to determine to stand ourselves. We live in freedom, yet we won't speak. And there's men and women around the world willing to give their life and stand with their last breath for the Lord. And I pray that would be our desire also. Wednesday night, I asked those who were here to pray for a preacher boy up in Leavenworth. His name's Tad LaGrosse. And I can almost call anybody a preacher boy anymore, as old as I'm getting. He's probably 35, 40, I'm guessing. Brother Tad was really sick. They put him in the hospital, put him on a vent, battling this COVID stuff. And he was able to get out just a couple of days ago and was rejoicing in the Lord's goodness to him and looking forward to being in church there today. And matter of fact, the Woods rig is still parked here because he was going to be up there in their church today. And so pray for Brother Taddy. Continues to heal, but we appreciate those prayers and how God has answered them. All right, Hebrews chapter 10. I'm not going to tackle the entire chapter today, but we are going to take a good portion of it. And I've entitled this message, Established a Better Covenant. If you would, and you can, stand with me in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I'll begin in verse number 1, and you can follow along. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do the will, or to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I have made with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. And this may seem rather wordy and even heavy to some. Lord, I pray that you would make it very tangible to us. Give us understanding hearts. We pray for a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our hearts, in our midst, that you might be honored and glorified. I'm so happy that you have put this portion of scripture in here. I'm just rejoiced at your great love for mankind, your care for us. I rejoice at the fact that Jesus Christ would leave the glories of heaven and come to this earth and give his life for the remission of our sins. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with Christians around the world today, strengthen and encourage them. Lord, I pray that we'd realize that these are the last days in which we live. And Lord, might we make our lives count for something more important than a bank account or a job or a 401k or what kind of car we drive. Lord, might we make our lives count for the glory of Jesus and for the coming kingdom where we're going to be for all of eternity. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your great love to us. And we ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. And all the people said, amen. You may be seated. So back to verse number one. My first point today, and you'll be happy to know that I have just two main points. But that's where your happiness ends, because there's many points underneath those two main points. The first one is the ceremonial law failure. The ceremonial law's failure. Verse number one down through verse number eight, we've already read. But I'd like to draw us back through portions of that. So my point A is a yearly remembrance and offering for sin. Verse number one, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And so he's telling us that, look, the law is a shadow of those good things to come. It's not the very image. It is given as a picture, and then sacrifices were made. They would come year by year, continually coming, trying to make right the sins, the wrongs that they had done against God. And their hope was to work to some type of being perfect. But there's no way with the blood of animals that that could ever happen. And so these sacrifices had to be on a regular basis. A man would sin. He would have to go. He would stand before the priest. He would confess his sin. He would bring an offering. That blood would then be applied to cover that sin until the next time. And then he would have to come again until the next time and the next time and the next time. And then year by year for the whole congregation, they would bring the goats and they would have the scapegoat. And they would place their hands on that scapegoat and a picture of placing the sins of their tribe upon it. And they would lead that goat out into the wilderness, and they would take the other one and they would place their hands upon it, and then they would sacrifice it. It would die. The blood would be shed for the covering, not for the remission, but for the covering of their sins. It was just a cover and a cover and a cover and a cover. And therefore, it had to continually happen because it was not perfect. It was not perfect. Verse 2 says, for then why would they not have ceased to be offered? Okay, so he's kind of arguing with himself, if you would. If offering that sin would have been perfect, then they could have ceased from doing this. But because it was not a perfect sacrifice, then we had to come back again and again and again. You know, look around just a moment. Do you like your church? I like it. It's pretty nice. We have air conditioning. Whew, I remember Brother Bush told me years ago when Brother Bush first started preaching that they were having a church business meeting and they were voting on putting air conditioning in the building. And someone said, we're not going liberal. We are not bringing air conditioning into the house of the Lord. Like, are you kidding me? Going liberal? Then he was down at Centropolis and they had outhouses. Aren't you thankful for a nice bathroom? I tell you, I am very thankful for a nice bathroom. I wonder, how many of you ever had to use an outside outhouse? Not an outside Ori. I mean an outhouse. Oh my goodness. There's quite a difference between an outhouse and one of these sanitized little Oris on a job site. Because you don't know what's in there with you in the outhouse. So they had outhouses at Centropolis, and Brother Bush put a light in the men's outhouse. Well, he got a lot of thunder over that, because then he had to put one in the ladies' outhouse. But they had gone liberal. They had lights in the outhouse. I like this. I like coming here with air conditioning. I like amplification. I like lights. I like the instruments. I like the chairs that you get to sit on. There was a little bit of a discrepancy at the very first. Some of you remember. We need pews. Like, pews make a church. You know what? We could do it New Guinea style and just take all the chairs out, and you could just bring a mat about that thick and set on that. I think I'll stay at the chairs. Amen? They have lumbar support, nice and cushioned. We can move them around so we can make this auditorium in different configurations. We are Americans, and we are blessed. But many times, we want to grumble about the blessings that God has given us. Now, I'm not asking for a survey. To be honest, I hate to say statements like this, but I really don't care. But I'm sure there's some that think we probably ought to have coffee in here and some donuts. It ain't going to happen on my charge, okay? I'll just let you know. So probably the day the preacher dies, they'll all bring him to the funeral. Look at this, preacher. Look at that. We're not going to do that. That'll be, you know, down the road. Then people, you'll mention, oh, remember when you used to go to church without coffee? That was so funny. Anyhow. That old preacher, Brother Metzinger. Can you imagine today? We were in, and I know it's a stretch, okay? We were in church in the Old Testament. Brother Charles, we wouldn't have the tie and all this other get up. We had to have robes, and I'd have little bells on mine, and there'd be blood being splattered, and animals, you would come with your animals. There'd probably be pickup trucks out here, you know, with stock racks, and you'd be leading your animals in, and you know stuff that animals do, and so that would be in here, and it would be about a blood being offered that would never perfectly cover sin. No matter how much blood. We could stand here all day long and shed blood and shed blood. Bulls and goats, your best. You had to bring the firstborn. You had to bring your best. And today we're where we give God our second. A preacher, I'm not going to be there Sunday because I got this going on. Wait a minute, God gets the first. The rest of your life gets the second. But we've turned it around. We give God the second and we give our life the first. Why is that? Why is it that because we've had it so easy, because it's been so convenient, because it's been easy for us to make choices and decisions? Listen, if we were living under that Old Testament law, you would have to bring the best. It would have to come. There would be blood offered. There would be blood again and again and again. But Jesus came and paid the price that didn't have to happen. Matter of fact, in verse number 2, it said, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. And the blood of these animals failed. It would never completely wash away sin." Verse 4 says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure." In other words, it never satisfied. It never satisfied. You could bring your best as you were required to do, and you could offer it, and you could always be there covering your sin, but it never satisfied the demand that sin left. Never satisfied. Look with me to verse 7. "Then said I, lo, I come." Quick, Bible study students, who's speaking? Jesus. How do you know? Because it's written in red. No, I'm teasing. "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book," I can't help but think, in the volume of the book, amen? "In the volume of the book, it's written of me to do thy will, O God, Jesus didn't come to do his will. He came to do God the Father's will. He came to fulfill. He came to complete. He came to satisfy. Verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which were offered by the law. Man was doing his best. Man was fulfilling the demands. He was trying to meet what God had said. He would bring the animals. The blood would be shed over and over and over and over. But then came Jesus. Matter of fact, that portion of Scripture is a reference to Psalms 40 in verse number 6, where we read, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Jesus came. He was referenced in the Old Testament, coming in the New Testament. He was referenced in the Old Testament that there was only one sacrifice that could ever atone for the sins of mankind. There's only one sacrifice that would truly wash away the sins, would truly grant the remission of sins. There's only one who could do that, and Jesus was his name. Jesus then, it leads us to our second point, Jesus superseded the ceremonial law. Amen. Amen. This is the exciting part, okay? This is like it, okay? This is the best part. Jesus superseded the ceremonial law. So Chuck's not standing down here with blood all over his clothes, and you're not dragging animals in here, and the place doesn't smell like animals smell. We can come in our comfortable cars, and we can sit in air conditioning, and we can enjoy the pews, and we can hold Bibles, and we can sing to the Lord, and we can amplify our voices, and all the things that are involved there that we get to enjoy is because of the fact that Jesus superseded the ceremonial law. Look at verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Would it be that every Christian today would adopt that as their mantra for living? God, I'm here to do whatever you say. God, you said that I ought to tell others about you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell others. Others need to know. Others need to hear what Jesus has done in your life. But if we're not careful, we're the silenced minority here in 2021. I mean, we watch brothers and sisters on TV and on Facebook or YouTube or whatever. We watch the Afghan brothers and sisters on their knees and guns behind their heads. We watch them die for the cause of Christ, but we won't pick up the phone. We won't carry a track. We won't stop and talk to anyone about Jesus because I might offend them. They might get offended. And you know, people's feelings are so important. Since when? You think Washington's cared about your feelings? Since all, ever. I'll just put it there, ever. You think Washington cares about your feelings? No. You're just a number. Amen. Most people don't. But we have the opportunity, by following the Lord and doing what he desires us to do, to impact those in our realm of influence. Amen. You could influence 700, 800, 1,000 people in your realm of influence if you wanted to. If you wanted to. So, let's say that, see Pete, he's got boys that play ball. Let's say that Eli's the next Patrick Mahomes, but he'd be Patrick Peterson, you know. And he'd be out there. Eli, I could just see him being the guy. Kansas City, ooh, oh, yeah, Super Bowl, yeah, we did jerseys, Peterson on the back of them, you know, yeah, yeah, whoo. But He was raised knowing Christ, but he refused to take the platform God had given him and use it for his glory. Would you not feel that maybe it was a failure? Let's say you're the CEO of your company. You have an opportunity to influence people around you for the cause of Christ. You have the opportunity to do good in the name of the Lord. And you refuse to do it. Don't you think there's some type of accountability that awaits refusing to do what God has told us to do? Okay, so let's say you're a nobody. I kind of would put myself there. I'm nobody. I don't stand out on the block, other than the fact I'm a big guy, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But you're just a everyday Joe living your life, and yet you have the greatest message of all. You can impact. They say that we impact 600 to 800 people in our realm of influence. You have an opportunity to impact those in your realm of influence, and you refuse to do it. Do you not think there'd be some accountability for that? Sure. We have an opportunity to speak of the goodness of God, and we don't have to invite our friends. Listen, I'd invite my friends to come to church, but Chuck's down there, and there's blood everywhere, and it smells like animals, and I don't want to. It's not like that, right? I mean, we can invite them to come and hear people sing, and we can invite them to come and sing, and we can invite them to come and hear the preaching of the Word of God and enjoy the comfort of the pews, and they don't have to go to an outhouse. They can go, there's a bathroom right there, and it's cool, and it's comfortable, and all those kind of things. And yet, if we're not careful, it requires too much of me. I'm just going to push it aside. Listen, Jesus came and he superseded the ceremonial law so that we don't have to look awkward in going to our friends and saying, you know, you're a sinner and you need to bring a whole bunch of animals and offer their blood on behalf of your sins. We don't have to do that. What we can do is we can bring them to the house of God and let them hear the preaching of the Word of God, and they can accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and all their sins will be forgiven because the perfect sacrifice has been made. Verse number 9. Then said he, lo, I'm come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Important language right there. He came to take away the first. He came to take away the bulls and the goats and the blood and that sacrifice, that regular coming to the altar, that at least yearly coming to sacrifice. He came to replace the first with the second. He came that he might establish the second and supersede the first. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Praise God. Jesus, once and for all, he came and he sanctified us through the offering, not of another bull or another goat. No, the Bible told us that God had made for him not an animal to sacrifice. He gave him a body. Amen. They said, you're coming. I'm giving you this body. Then we think about Christmas time and we think about the manger and we think about baby Jesus. And we love that story because we all love babies. We all love babies. I think it's a natural point of man to love babies. It's sad that we kill babies so freely in America today. But we love that story, Jesus and Christmas and the manger and the baby. And he grows up and he grows up. And when he grows up, he has to die. He has to go to the cross. That's the only way to pay for the sins of mankind, is that he grows up and he goes to the cross of Calvary. And there he is punished for our sins. And the sins of mankind are placed upon him. He had to do that. He was, he was the only one who could do that. Only one. Why is that? Because he's the Son of God. Mary was a virgin. The Holy Ghost came upon her. No man was a part of that. He used the vessel of the woman, and he came in, and he planted the seed of Jesus, he used her as a host, if you would, and the baby came forth, and it had the precious blood of Jesus, and it was the precious, perfect blood, the only blood that could ever satisfy the need of the blood to cover sins. Now the blood was given for the remission of sins, to sanctify all mankind. Jesus comes, and he has that blood, and we are to be sanctified through Jesus offering his body. Notice, once and for all. Once. 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 How many times did Jesus have to die? Once. And although he gave all of his blood, it could have probably been some of the blood, although I know I mess with some theological people right there. But his precious, pure blood, one time shed for the sins. How many sins? All. For who? All. That's great. That's great news. Jesus came. The only one who could do it had the special blood that came from God in his veins. And he comes one time. Oh, but preacher, you don't know what I did. I got saved. And then, you know, I was saved from alcohol or drugs. I went back to that lifestyle. And I lived like that for a couple more years. I was immoral and all those kind of things. And, you know, I just don't know. I got to get saved again. No, if you truly accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need it once. 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 One time. I've known people to fall away and come back. Jesus doesn't have to go back to the cross for them again. One time. Now they need to be remorseful. They need to ask forgiveness. They need to seek to do what is right, to get back on the right footing with God. But Jesus didn't have to die again. His blood was sufficient for all mankind. All mankind. You ever met some people and you thought, I don't know about them. I read about some of the horrible murderers of our lifetime. The John Gacy's and what was that, a Dahmer guy. And, you know, some of those wicked, vile men. I remember about Hitler. I didn't know him, but I heard about him. I think about other cruel, mean leaders. I think about these men of the Taliban that are killing Afghan Christians. You think they can be saved? You betcha. They just need someone to tell them about Jesus. Amen. They need to ask forgiveness from Jesus. The Bible's quite clear that all can be saved. None have ever sinned too much that they can't be saved. All mankind can be saved. He came and he died for the remission of all sins. Verse 10 said, by the which we are sanctified through the offering by the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily. They're talking about the priests and how they used to stand daily. And they would offer over and over and over again. And offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, I love it, sat down on the right hand of God. Amen. Job done. Job done. That's better than any warranty you'll get in this life. Isn't it sad we buy something new and the first thing they ask is, would you like the extended warranty on that? And I want to think, isn't your product good enough that I shouldn't need an extended warranty on that? Jesus offered his sacrifice one time. No extended warranty needed. One time. One time. He died. One time. And now he's seated at the right hand of God. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One time he has perfected you. You know, I'll be honest with you. One of the greatest battles I fought when I first got saved was, did I do it right? Now, I say that because what happened was Satan was able to put me in a box, and I was like a cat chasing his tail. Okay? So, I know what the Bible says. I got to pray this, and I need to ask this, and I'm saved. And I'd go along for a while, I'm saved. And then I'd do something bad and be like, oh, if I was saved, I wouldn't do that. I wonder if I'm really saved. Well, I need to do this, this, and this. Okay, I'm saved. Well, if I was saved, I don't think I would have done this. Or I don't think I'd done that. And I was just chasing myself for like a year. Am I really saved? Did I really do it? And it was just a simple thing. And an old preacher told me, he said, look, I was dealing with this assurance. I wanted to know. I wanted to know. I wanted to know. They kept saying, you can know. I had to know. He said, take your Bible, write in the front the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when Satan comes along to say that you haven't done all the things, to just look right back to that day and go, you're a liar, because right there I wrote it down. Yeah. Right there's my anchor. Right there's my hope. I did what the Bible said. I prayed the prayer. I asked Jesus Christ into my heart. And I know that I'm saved. Isn't it great to know that you're saved? Amen. Isn't it great to not wonder, oh, did I blow that? Do I need to get saved again? Do I need to do this? I don't know if I'm really saved. I don't know if I'm really saved. Listen, God doesn't intend for you to live that way. Amen. He wants you to know that you're saved. Amen. Without a doubt. You know why I can fall asleep so quick? Because I don't have a doubt. If I die, I'm going to wake up someplace really nice, and I won't have to have had to, you know, like go through a major car wreck and hit a telephone pole. I just went to sleep. Unless I guess I was driving the car. And then, oh, anyhow. I'm secured. I am saved. I know that I'm saved. That one-time offering was sufficient to meet the needs to secure my salvation. And it's enough to secure yours. Verse 15, wherefore the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah. When I asked Jesus Christ to save me, there was a lot of stuff that happened. The Holy Ghost moved in. He sealed me until the day of redemption. Changes started taking place, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And my old friends would look at me, and they go, something's different about you, and my outlook, and the way I chose my language, and the way I lived, and all those things begin to change as the Holy Ghost took up a position in my life, and as I gave more to him, the more changes that would come. And it's good to know that there was this change, this movement of God in my heart, and then to know that my sin and iniquity, verse 17, will remember no more. Man, I love that part about being saved. When I get to heaven, there's probably going to be stuff that I have to deal with God about because, you know, I'm just a dirty, rotten sinner living my life and I fail. And if I were to die right now, there's probably something I'd have to stand before God from just a few hours this morning, maybe. I don't know. But my big gross sin, where is it? What are you talking about? My sin. Where's my sin? Oh, that's gone. Isn't that great? No. Seriously, this is the greatest news ever. I don't know why we're not more excited about it. The horrible, rotten sinner, you know, I'll be honest with you, sometimes doing block work in this area kind of bothers me because I grew up here. I rode the school bus through here. There used to be Woodsonia Grade School right over there, and Monticello was just over the hill, little school in Monticello. I went to that school. I went there, and I went to DeSoto High. And there's sometimes I'm knocking on doors, I'm praying, just let it not be anyone I know. I called a friend of mine a few years ago. His name's Charlie. He grew up just right over here by the old Monticello school. We used to run the streets and when we were teenagers and all that kind of stuff. And I called him and said, "Hey, Charlie, this is Kevin Metzinger." He said, "Before you say another thing, I want to say I'm sorry. I wasn't a better example before you when we grew up together." I feel that way sometimes. Several years ago, I was through preaching. We were in the old building. So I've been a lot, 20 years ago, in the old building. This guy stuck around afterwards. And he came up to me and he said, "So I know you probably don't remember me. My name's Robbie Bird. I went to school with Robbie Bird. I was not the example I should have been, and he wasn't even saved." And so I got to visiting with Robbie. He told me, "You know, the first year after graduation, I got invited to go to this church over here," and he told the location of church that he went to, and he said, "I got saved. Jesus came in and made a difference in my life." You know, Jesus ought to move in and make a difference in our life. A big difference. He's done so much for us. We got a new start. A new start. I got a new name, Brother Charles. I don't know what it is. Kind of excited to find out. It'll probably be something I can't pronounce, and so don't call me by it. I may not answer. I'm looking forward to getting a perfect body where I'll not need these hearing aids, and I won't have to hold on to stuff to walk, you know, and all that kind of thing. It's going to be a wonderful day when I go to heaven. But till I go there, I've got a responsibility here. Keep him number one. Number one. Not number two or three or four or five. One. And live for him everywhere I go. A solid example of Jesus. It's a requirement. It's something that I believe every child of God should do, that we might share Jesus with others. Because verse 18 says, "Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin." There's no more offering. The price has been paid. The sin debt is washed away. The whole time I'm writing this sermon, I can't get away from one song. "What can wash away my sins? Nothing." Oh, no, you got to hang on nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. "What can make me whole again?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Man, I'm so thankful for what Jesus did in my heart. I'm so thankful I'm not here with bulls and goats and the bleeding of lambs and turtle doves. And I'm so glad he paid the price that heaven might be my eternal home. So glad to know that I'm saved and I have a responsibility to tell others of Jesus. You have the same thing before you. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for the truth of your word. What a blessing it is to know that our sins are covered, paid. They're washed away. They're never to be remembered again. Now, where under the old ceremonial law, there was a covering. It was incomplete. It was insufficient. Year after year, they would have to come and make those atonements and make those sacrifices. Jesus went one time to the cross. He paid that ultimate price that heaven might be our eternal home. Lord, help us rejoice in that. Help us draw strength from that. Help us to have guts to tell others about Jesus. Help us to have the wherewithal to make Jesus number one, to read his word and then apply his word to our life that we might be found faithful. Lord, we probably would all agree our time here on earth is short. We'll soon stand in your presence. Help us to have our affairs in order, to have things ready, to be ready to go to be with you, Lord, that we might be pleasing your sight as we live here upon this earth. We ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. Amen. Would you stand with me today? We're going to sing 317, All Live for Him. If God's spoken to your heart, if you're here without Christ as your Savior, if you come, someone will take a Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. Christian, maybe there's things in your life needs to go that you might live for Him. Whatever your need is, I encourage you to come. Brother Foster leads us here. This first verse.
My life, my love, I give to Thee, Thou Lamb of God, who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. I now believe Thou dost receive, for Thou hast died that I might live. And now henceforth I trust in Thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and save my soul and make me free. I'll consecrate my life to Thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God.
Let's sing Nothing But the Blood. Can you do that?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Just go ahead and do the announcements.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Just a couple of announcements before we are dismissed. Pastor Pirate, today, if you are going to sign your kids up for Pastor Pirate for this year, please do that by today and then have the money in for the book as well. And so then that program will begin on Wednesday, September the 8th. September 5th, we'll have Brother and Mrs. Hardy with us, and we're looking forward to that. That day will also be a brown bag service. And so then the September 10th, we'll have the youth rally starting at 7 o'clock. And so Brother Jeremiah Messinger will be preaching for us. If you would like to help out and you weren't at the meeting a couple of weeks ago, let me know. There's still a couple of spots that we need to fill in. And if you would be interested in helping out, let me know. The September the 15th, we'll have special guest the Warren family with us, and they'll be having a little concert here on that Wednesday evening. And so I hope that you'll make plans to join us for that special event. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the blood that cleanses us all from sin and that you only had to die one time. And Lord, thank you so much for that truth. And I ask you to help us as we live in light of that, as we go today our separate ways, bring us back safely this evening. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.